So I desire your prayers tonight. I set in my heart when I came to this meeting that I wanted to hear the Lord. Been asking the Lord to help me to be able to hear what He has to say to me. So I think that's good advice for all of us, that we would listen to see what the Lord has to say. I think the Lord wants to say something to us. He wants to talk to us. He wants to give us something of Himself. See, that's what the Lord does as He speaks to us. He's really offering us something of Himself. And that's what the Lord wants to give us. And I want it. I've been asking the Lord, help me, Lord, to hear that. Felt like I've lost some zeal and some... Appreciated the message today about the determination. Feel like I need more of that. I need the Lord to bring it to me in a way that I can get it of whatever I need. Not just enough to hear it, but Lord, I want to be impressed on my heart. I do have a thought tonight. We'll look at a scripture in the 10th chapter of Matthew. Start with the 29th verse. And this is my thought. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall to the ground without your Father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, you are more valuable. You are of more value than many sparrows. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? You know, a farthing was one of the, at the time, was one of the least valued pieces of money. It wasn't very much. It's a little bit. I got a penny here. And I'm wondering... Tonight, if I was to try to buy some of y'all's labors, get you to work for me, I'm wondering what I could get you to do. How much would that buy me? Well, it ain't worth very much. It's just a penny. And when I was a little boy, me and my sister, we used to covet those things quite a bit. We found a penny that was worth a lot. But it's not worth much. And this scripture says, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? This whole scripture was the Lord telling us how important we are and that how much we can have faith in God, because God doesn't let anything happen to even sparrows. And that's the real meaning of this, that we should take courage in whatever we do in life, because God cares for us. Because, and the Lord wanted to point this out, that you can get two sparrows for a farthing. You can get two of them. One scripture says you can get five for two farthings. That's kind of the discount. I mean, you can get more for bulk rights here. They're not worth very much. I'd ask myself, what are they doing with these sparrows anyway? They're about that big. I guess they eat them. That's why you only give a farthing for them. It's not like a big 20-pound turkey. It's a little bird. About that big, and they're not worth very much. But we're the man's what put the price on them. You know, man put the price on the sparrows. Jesus said to them, can you not buy two of them for a farthing? But it wasn't God's price on them. You know, God said that they were important. God said that the sparrows are important. And the idea is, and you can find this in some of the Old Testament, but the idea is that hunters go and hunt sparrows. Again, you're not after much, The fowler nets those sparrows to get a little something out of them. And you can throw a net and catch several, and several get away. And the Lord is saying He chooses which one's caught and which one gets away. And when the stone throws the stone, you may hit a bird and you may miss one. And the Lord's saying, I'm the one that decides which one of those birds will be hit and which one of them won't be. And I will let sparrows die at your hand, and I'll let some live. In spite of all that you can do, I'll let some of them live. You can't catch all of them. I'll do something with it. The Lord was saying that there was value in something so small and seemingly insignificant as a little bird. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? Now, I heard some news recently, and I wish I had more details, but I only heard it as a kind of a quick blurb on the radio, that there is a controversy right now that they've been taking aborted fetuses, and they've been selling the parts, and they're quite profitable. They're worth a lot. And they're selling them and getting money off of them. Then they're aborting these more and more. And no doubt there's a market. No doubt there's an encouragement to do it. No doubt it's quite a scandal or an idea in our minds that they would do this. We've come a long ways, folks. You know, that don't even stun us like it ought to. That ought to really stun us that would be happening. And you can't help from asking the question, does God care? Does God care? They're valuable in our estimations. We put value on them in money. This is what, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And yet not one of them can fall to the ground and die and be taken unless your Father is involved in it. You know, that ought to encourage us, but it also ought to challenge us. Because I wasn't aborted. I'm here. Mom didn't abort me. She may have wished she had him at times, but she didn't. And I'm here. So what am I here for? I must be here for something. And you know, there's value. There's value. God puts value on these things. You know, it's a shame to think of what our country's doing and going away like there's that God don't care and there's no worth or value. Lord, help us. We may not look at the value of the things that God looks at, but tonight I want to challenge us. As this meeting starts, it's a good time to start saying, Lord, let me take off my values of things. Quit letting me value, put my value, our earthly value. If you said sparrows are valuable enough to pay attention to, they're worth more than a farthing. They're worth more than that. Help me to take my mind out of it, my idea off of it, and help me to see things for the value that you have in them. You know how easy it would be for us to despise somebody different than we are? How easy it is to despise the drunkard. Or the drug addict, or somebody that dresses different, or somebody's been caught up in this sin or that sin, or alternative, you may say, in this life. Do you know we still, God still claims great value? Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? Isn't it our idea of what something's worth? If God in heaven, the creator of the whole universe, says that He notices the sparrow, Lord, help us in what we put our values on. I remember hearing a story. I don't know that it's just a story. I don't know. But there was a story of a botched abortion. And it was one of these abortions. It was late-term abortions. And it was botched in the sense that when the baby came out, the baby was alive. And there was a real dilemma on their hands because the baby's not supposed to be alive. It's supposed to be dead, but it's born and it's still alive. And they know it's not going to live long without doing something to assist it to live. Two sparrows are sold for a farthing. But the value, And there was a dilemma now in there. And the story went that there was a nurse that got to this little baby, wee little baby that was still alive, wrapped it up, and sat down and rocked it for a few minutes of comfort of its earthly existence. It lived a few minutes. And I don't know, folks, listen, I don't know who, if that story is true, and I don't know who the woman what is, if it was true. But if it was, I have a great admiring for her. Because something kicked in down here that said, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? Doesn't God care about those things? Doesn't God care about the small things of our lives? Doesn't God care enough to give an encouraging word? Oughtn't we care enough to give an encouraging word? My burden is tonight is that I'm not trying to stir the whole camp to go and do a lot of works. But I think we ought to do important ones. I think we oughtn't just run to be busy, but I think we ought to do the important things. The things that have value to them for the eternal life of us all. For the things that are valuable to us. Well, no, don't despise the small things. Don't throw away the little things. Because what God's heart is and what God says is very important. It's very important. We hold dear. It's already been mentioned, but we hold dear some things. And you may look and say, why do they hold it so dear? I don't want to hold it out of a legalistic attitude. But I want to hold it out of a heart that understands the value of things. Not just for me as I isolate myself in some, but as I see the whole. That there's things that's value that we need to encourage one another with, that we ought to stand for. If I never say it, you know I'm standing for that. Because it's important, not because I said it was important, because God said it was important. Because it's meaningful God. I seen a billboard one time somewhere along Oklahoma that said, love your neighbor as yourself. I meant that, God. But like God signed it, I meant that. Love your neighbor as yourself. I meant that. Love one another. I meant that. I meant that. I mean that it's valuable. It's valuable to you. It'll be valuable to the whole. We need that. Lord, help us. Because there's a lot of things that it would be easy for us to cast away as insignificant. Or you may say, that's not worth much. I can buy it with my penny. I can buy it with my penny. Human life. I can about give you a penny for it these days. It's worthless. It's worthless in that. But God put great value and love on each and every one of us. That it is valuable. So it must be valuable. Lord, help us to find what the real meaning of being a Christian really is about. What do you think the Lord really cares the most about right now? Our souls. Right now, I think the Lord looks down on an assembly like this, hoping, desiring that He can say something to me that would help me out in my walk with Him. Something that would encourage me to step one more step deeper, or go one more step higher, or accept another bit of truth, or to be more like He would be in some way or another. I think He looks at a congregation like this and says, I want to erase out of you things that you have bothering you in your life. I want to encourage you and help you. I want to inspire you. I want to bring something to you. I don't think He's putting the value on the fact that we own something, or that we have something, or that we're important, or even that we're comfortable here tonight. or that we're in air condition, or that we've had... No, I think the Lord is looking down saying, I got something valuable. Is two sparrows not sold for a farthing tonight? Am I not saying and trying to tell you that there's value that I put on things above what you put on things? And there's things that means a lot to me. And I want to see them in you. Not just for a selfish reason of God. God doesn't like that. You know, God wants us to be like He is because it's the best way for us to be. That's the way where it's going to work best for us in our lives. Look with me into another scripture. Oh, over in 12th chapter of Mark. The 41st verse says, and Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. Now, I want to say something about the difference between me sitting and watching somebody throw something into the treasury and the Lord sitting and watching somebody throw things into the treasury. There is people that are very wealthy that don't appear to be very wealthy. I knew in my hometown there was an old guy that walked around the streets and he didn't appear to be much. And I had one of my buddies was a banker, and he wasn't really had the privilege of telling me or supposed to tell me. Only thing he did say is you think he don't have anything, don't you? Yeah, I don't think he has a thing. Man, if you just knew what that guy's worth. So what I'm saying is that he didn't look to me like he had anything. Right. And if I looked and saw that, I'd judge it the way I would look and see it. Right. But the Lord don't look at it like that. One thing we can say about the Lord is that, folks, listen, the Lord knows your public personality, character, and He knows your private character. And personality. God knows who you are inside and out. So when the Lord was standing there watching this and seeing what was being done, there was no ambiguity like there is in our mind. I may think this or could be this or that. God saw it all completely. He's God. So He saw the whole scene. Tonight, God looks over this assembly the same way. God knows what you brought to the meeting. God knows what you could have brought. God knows what you put into the meeting. God knows what you could put into it. God knows what value you have on things tonight. And He knows what value you don't have on things you should have. God knows tonight whether it's about you. And He knows whether it's about Him. God knows all these things. And as Jesus watched Him put them into the treasury, He was seeing it as we would see it, but He saw it altogether different than what you and I may see it. Yes. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? Isn't there things important that doesn't seem to be important? Wouldn't you and I look and say, I would rather have a rich man's offering, even if it was pitiful, than the widow woman's? Because I get more in my pocket. Right? I pay more bills with the rich man's little or his throwing in of his his abundance. He can throw into his abundance and I'd get more, so I'd take that. God isn't looking at it like that. God don't need those things to make things happen. God's looking at our hearts tonight, and He wants our hearts to be able to give those. I say a little offering in the Spirit of the Lord tonight. A little giving. You don't have to do great things here. You got to do the right thing. You got to do the right little thing. Whatever it is. It don't take great works. It takes something little in God. He don't want us to be great. He wants us to give the little. With a true heart. He wants us to give what we have. And give it. God puts value on little things. And watches over all the creation like that. Surely tonight He's watching over us. And tonight, folks, listen. Consider yourself open and naked tonight before whom you have to do. Because you are.
Now, you ain't open to me. I don't see things well. You're not open to the people, but you're open totally to God. God wants to call you tonight to have the heart to be able to open up and see, what is that thing, Lord, that I can do? Where is that step that I can take for you? So the Lord was sitting, watching them put in their money. And it says, there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in 2 mites, which makes a farthing. She had 2 birds worth. That's all she had. But the Lord looks at those. I want to tell you, this is proof positive of what he was saying. The 2 sparrows, that's what she had. She had 2 sparrows. And the Lord said, now, which of these? Now, what's valuable to God here? Isn't it worth more than all of these other things? As human beings, we can put value in so many misguided things. Over here and over this. I'm going to tell you, I thank God, and get this right, because I think there is a blessing in musical ability. It touches our hearts. It's a gift of God. And the harmonies of music and the being able to do it and blend it together has a power and a force to it that can be done naturally. It can be... I've heard people in the world do it and harmonize rather well. I mean, it is divine in the sense of creation, but it's a gift to humanity too, is it not? Do you know that we can insist on that perfect pitch, that perfect harmony, but it doesn't mean God's really saying it's valuable? Because you have to give it the right way. You have to give it the right way. We all have so much, I believe, to give. But it isn't in great things. It's in a farthing's worth. It's in something God puts his approval on and makes it abound. It's something God can bless. Do you know that some of the greatest encouragements come to me? It doesn't have to be a Hallmark either. It can be a Dollar General, get a dozen for a dollar. Cards. Okay, it's more than a farthing to mail it. 48 cents or something. But some of the blessings that I've... When I receive... Just open up something and simply say... And maybe in poor handwriting even. Brother Marty, been thinking about you. Praying for you. Stay encouraged. It just lifts me up. It's so valuable. It's so valuable. And I've said before, if that thing would have been chock full of $100 bills, it wouldn't have been as valuable as those words that the brother said right there. I needed that. You got a farthing's worth tonight? If you do, you got a good witness for the Lord. You've got the ability to go out and touch people's lives. If you've got a farthing's worth. And you can go out and use that. And the Lord will bless it. And you can touch people all over the place. All you need is a farthing's worth. 2 mites to throw in there. When you have nothing else. The Lord looks at that and put great. Him not to mention her. How would you like your name to be spoken of by the Lord. Right down in this situation. That was. The Lord was saying that about her. And I think the Lord really wanted his disciples to get this. Notice the language here. Because it says, and he called unto him his disciples. Right. You know, it's not like they're all sitting and he points it out. It's almost like there is a lesson that I want you to get. Tonight, disciples of the Lord. I want you to get a lesson here about the way we think about things. Come and let me teach you a little tonight.
He called unto his disciples and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow has cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all of her living. Now I want to tell you, nobody else could have said that. Do you realize nobody else could have said that? Because nobody knows what she had stashed away. She may have been one of these old miserly women that had all kind of stuff. And she just wore baggy clothes, wore stuff. You know, there's people that I've read about that go out and they live in $200,000 homes and drive Mercedes Benz. And they go and every morning they put their old wore out boots and old wore out clothes. And they go and they make a lot of money in these places. People giving them stuff. You know, there's people that actually pull that. But the Lord knew better. The Lord knew. And so he calls his disciples and says, here's a life lesson for you. Because you're going to deal, when I'm gone, you're going to deal with all of these things. And I want you to make a wise assessment here. Yes. Don't always lean towards the billfold. Because God's not. I won't be putting my blessing on that. I want you to see this. This little widow woman gave more than them all. Because she gave what she had, what she could. Isn't that the heart? Isn't that the real heart that the Lord wants us to have? The Lord knows tonight, everybody in here in your entirety. Now, He's a loving, merciful. He wants to bring us all along in the way that we can be brought along. And He's working. But there is times that the Lord brings us to these very definite moments that says, it's time for you to put in. It's time to see what you are of. There's times that the Lord comes to the singers and says, I want you to sing. Well, I don't feel like singing. I don't have. Do you have a farthing? Do you have two mites? You got a couple sparrows worth? It don't take much, folks. It takes a willingness. Do you know there's times that if you just hold somebody's hand, I don't have words. But can you hold somebody's hands? Maybe weep with somebody? Can you care? Can you show that you care? Can you give that? You don't know how far. I won't take time to read it, but I think most of us are familiar with it. There come a time that the Lord had taken these people out into the wilderness. A great crowd of people out into the wilderness. And it was out there all day. And the Lord got concerned that they faint going back because they'd been all day out there without food. So the Lord says, we need to feed them. So He says to the disciples, we need to feed them. And they said, oh, what we can't, how are we going to feed them? All we have is 5 loaves and 2 fishes. We can't do anything. Right. You really can't do anything but have the blessings of the Lord on you. Because it's the only thing that really works. And so you remember the story? He said, bring them to me. Have them sat down in groups of 50. You set them down. What are we doing here? Bring it to me. And the Lord took the little that was offered, that was given. I can't help from thinking that that wasn't given grudgingly. I mean, there was a freeness to give it. Lord, take the little that I have tonight and expand it to whatever you want to do with it. If He can take 5 loaves and 2 fishes,
and feed 5,000 men, not counting women and children, and have 12 baskets left, he can feed the world with two sparrows.
Yes.
A farthing's worth.
Yes.
What's valuable? If God says holiness is valuable, it's valuable. If God insinuates that we ought to humble ourselves and love one another, then it's valuable. I mean, it's valuable to the world to see it. We're fraudulent if it's not true, if we're not living that. If the Lord suggests, all He's got to do is suggest that modesty is important. In 2015, folks, and it's valuable. Oh, you say, well, I may wrestle about where it's put in the standards of the lines, but you better wrestle about where it's put in the standards of the lines, because the Lord said it's valuable.
Amen.
And what the world says is valuable is not what the Lord says is valuable. The world's going to say all this is valuable. Sports is valuable. Hollywood's valuable. Music's valuable. All this is valuable. God didn't put a value on that stuff. God put the value on sparrows. Put value on sparrows. And He watches over all of His creation. And He watches over me. And He watches over you. One of the commentary writers wrote, "The eyes of the Lord are through all the earth, beholding the evil and the good. Wheresoever we are, whatsoever we are about, may a deep conviction of this truth rest upon our hearts. Thou, God, seest me. Always and forever, God sees me. God knows when I'm faithful and unfaithful. God knows when I put in of my abundance and when I put in of my heart. God knows when I give of what I can and when I hold back. God knows when I feel that the cause of God is important, and He knows when I feel like the cause of Marty is important. He knows when I'm willing to humble myself for Him and not humble myself because of me. God knows what I think's important. God knows how I feel about things that is important. God knows where I put the value of everything in my life. He knows where you put yours. He knows whether I have things that's above Him or not. God knows all those things about my life. And He looks and sees. And Lord, help you and I tonight to be faithful to the Lord and care for the small things and realize that God said that you could buy two sparrows for a farthing. And not one of them. Now, they had to put two sparrows of the farthing to buy the thing. But the Lord said, I'll take one of them. Not one of them of the two can fall. Now we got it down to a mite of earth. And He still says, it's valuable enough for me to expend myself for its establishment of life. I let it to be hatched. I let it to fly. I let it to come into your jurisdiction. I put it in your world, your life. I put it in there. Was Lazarus important as he laid at the rich man's door? You can buy two sparrows for a farthing. Do you think God looked down and said, this man is valuable. Great worth is put on him. I wonder what the rich man, I wonder if the rich man bought any sparrows in his lifetime. I wonder how much he spent for the purple that he was arrayed in. Bible said he was. I wonder how much he paid for his elaborate things of life. I wonder if he ever said an encouraging word to the man that laid there. I wonder if he ever offered him anything of encouragement or blessing. But there was something more valuable than it all laying there. And he may have walked right on by it.
Yes.
Folks, the valuable of things in our lives are all around us. God puts value on all of His creation, but the crowning one of it was us. God loves us. He wants our well-being and peace. I would you that you be in health and prosper, even as your soul prospers. God wants us all to prosper and do well. And He wants all of us to want all of us to be in health and prosper. There's no room in this for jealousies. There's no room in this to want one another to be harmed or hurt. For God doesn't want it, and He puts great value in to us having peace and living a peaceable life. God wants those things for our life. Lord, help you and I to put the value and see the value and do all we can for those places in our life. Oh Lord, help me to take the responsibility of the place that you've given me. Another scripture that ties in my mind is in John, first chapter of John. The 44th verse says, "Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there be any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip said unto him, Come and see." Oh. You know, sometimes I have an idealistic view sometimes of the way, I guess I say things can be. And I like always to be able to say to people, come see. Come see, taste, hear, experience the Lord's presence. Like I have. I've known people before that I've talked to and knew that there was no conversation that could allow me, no words and inspiration that could allow them to feel what I feel and know what I know. And I've often said, I'd like to swap you just for a moment. But you wouldn't want to swap me back. You wouldn't want to give it back. The folks that criticize me in my life and looks and says the criticism of the way I dress and where I go and the way I do it and how I spend my money going around the train and the way I do all that and their lives around, I wouldn't trade them. No, how? My life is so sad. They look at it and run it down. I don't live like that. And I'm thinking, live like you are? The whole thing's dysfunction. You have nothing of value. But Nathanael, he told Nathanael, he was confident. Come talk to him. Come see. You'll experience what I've experienced. The power and authority of his words. You ever have, I've experienced a lot, and I'm thankful for it. Been in meetings and people come, and we've had different tent meetings and different things, and people come back to testify. He said, you know, the love that was shown us and the Spirit of the Lord that we felt like, we just never felt that like that. Come see. Come see. Come taste. So he said, come see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, Behold an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile, no dishonesty in him. A true son of Jacob. This is a son of Israel. This is a true one. The Lord looked and saw. What man could have made that proclamation? None on earth. None on earth could say what Jesus said about Nathanael when he saw him coming. But the Lord saw it and said it. And it inspired. Nathanael's coming along. Was it an accident? Folks, was it an accident that Nathanael finds Jesus? It was just an accident, right? A fate of time. The stars was in the right alignment. And all these things that happened. And all of a sudden there's something happens that they align. No, there's a God in heaven. And it was a true man and an honest man and one that sought God and wanted God. And there was no dishonesty, no corruption, no deceit in him. He looked truly a true Israelite, an Israelite indeed. Nathanael said unto him, I say it like this with bewilderment, where'd you know me? Where did we ever encounter? Where did you ever have a relationship with me at? Where? That's the only way that you can state so positively the character. I have people that I can count that I say, yes, they're saints of God. I have confidence in them. He was bewildered. Nathanael said to him, whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, I'm going to tell you, Jesus got the right thing to say.
Yes.
Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree,
the Lord.
I saw thee.
All right.
Oh, folks, listen.
Praise God.
Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? Does anybody in here believe right now that you have to do some great thing before you can find God? What did Nathanael do? He found himself somewhere at some time in meditation and prayer under a fig tree. That seems pretty small to me. It don't amount to much. How much would you pay a guy to do that? About a farthing. If that's all you're going to do, you'll get about a farthing for it. But there's not a lot of information about what this really is. There's assumptions about that. But it meant a lot to Nathanael. And I'm going to tell you, Nathanael knew exactly what it meant. When the Lord said, before Philip called you and come along, that was me under the fig tree. I imagine shivers run through him. And he says, my Lord.
Yes.
Nathanael answers and said unto him, Rabbi, Master, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Now here is, by his profession, folks listen, the Son of God, the King of Israel. Notice the small things. And put great worth and value to it. This was valuable to the Lord. That he had met Nathanael under that fig tree. Tonight, if you have a want in your life, folks, it's not a big thing. That the Lord wants from you. He wants a farthing worth. He wants a grain. He just wants a little. He wants the little that you can give him. Do you know the simple? I can't articulate. I'm not a spokesman. Can you groan? Can you moan? Can you feel the need of your heart? You feel it. The longing for Jesus to meet it. It's a farthing's worth. It's a little bit. It don't take great things, folks. Just a little bit. That little offering that I'm not... Lord, I'm not saved. And I have nothing to offer. But I'll give you ashes. I'll give you a burnt out life. I'll give you some... I've run hard, Lord. I've run hard. And I've burnt out. I burned out a lot of hopes and dreams, and I've hurt a lot of people, and I've done a lot of things. The only thing I've got to bring you is an old, wore out, burnt out life. That's what he wants. Other people will look and say, they're not worth anything. They're useless. They can't offer society anything. They can't offer people anything. And in a present state, there's a lot of truth to those kind of things. But the Lord don't look at it like that. The Lord looks at the value. of that thing that he created and loved. He didn't die for the righteous folks. It was the sinners that he died for. It was us that couldn't pay the penalty. And the scripture even says of those that would be cast into outer darkness, you know what they're going to pay? The last farthing. And they don't have a farthing to pay it with. But I want to tell you tonight, there is a farthing worth in you tonight. No matter what the place is, you've got a farthing's worth. God loves and cares about you enough that if you'll bring, I am totally confident of this tonight, if you will be broken and contrite and bring that to the Lord, He will not despise it. He will not cast it out. He will meet you there with it, and He will bless your soul. He'll take care of your needs. He'll give you encouragement. He'll help you with whatever you have or need. If you'll bring your little burnout, worthless little farthing, little nothing that the world says is nothing, that you and yourself knows not much, bring it to the God of all care. And he'll meet you there with it. I encourage you tonight and throughout this meeting, hear God and what the Lord wants to say to you. You know, there was a man in the Bible that come, little servant girl says, there's a would be my Lord was in Israel because there's a prophet over there that can heal him. Man of God's over there could heal him. So he goes, and after all the kadoos with the king and all, but he goes over there to the prophet, expecting great show. Pomp and circumstance. Big things. Going to have a lot of pomp. We're going to have a big ceremony of some kind. And he goes over there, and the servant goes out and says, my Lord told you, says, go dip yourself 70 times in Jordan and you'll be clean. What? I brought over $160,000 worth of silver and gold and raiments. I bought all this wealth to show the value. That ain't valuable to God, folks. So he takes off in a rage. His servant said, Lord, Master, if he had said some great thing, would you not have done it? You know, you go climb to the highest peak and pluck a tail feather from an eagle. Go and dive deep into the ocean and get the richest of pearl. Would you have not have done it? I would have done the great feats. Then why not just do a farthing's worth? It costs you nothing or little to nothing. He almost missed. Folks, listen, you know how easy he could have missed, because of his pride, how easy he could have missed his healing and blessing that the Lord had for him. And he went and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan. And he come away and he said his flesh was like baby's flesh, child's. Do you remember the rest of that story, what the servant did? Remember how he coveted the value? He missed the valuable thing, folks. The man of God didn't even put value on those gifts. What do you need? What do you need that with when you got the maker of it all? What do you need that for? He didn't need that. He's the same one that they said the other king. They said of him that the Lord tells him what you think about on your bedchamber. The God's telling these things. It's not a sparrow sold for a farthing, right? Hundreds of thousands of unborn babies are cast away in our society as useless. And their body parts are then made valuable. The human life is worthless. Folks, we got it all wrong. Lord, help us to get it all right. Is it any less tragic to call it worthless after it's born? Oh, what about if it grows up in tragic circumstances? Do we call it worthless then? and then maybe it grows old in those kind of ways. Is it worthless then? We can pity a lot of times the child that is being abused and don't realize that that abused child most of the time turns out to be an abuser. But we don't hold the same pity. We don't put the same value. But I wonder tonight if we really was willing to open up our hearts and say, Lord, can I see like you see? And can I put value on the things that you put value on? I wonder how much we would change our view of things and start valuing the valuable things. Lord, help us tonight to value the valuable things. You pray for me.